Another Wednesday rolls around. They just keep coming, don't they? Time for American Net Radio on 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD. I'm Tom Ryan. I've been saying that. Well, I've been saying that exactly for about a year. I've been saying 90.3 for about something like quarter century now. And my lovely wife and co-host, Tati Morales, here being here as well. I've been saying that for better part of 20 years. And I'm thinking about the timeline and how long it's been, I suppose. I'm saying that right now for a pretty obvious reason. Today, we're going to cover an album which I consider to be sort of like a real game changer. An album that is very significant in changing the face of music. It's from November of 1975 on our list of the top 500 of the top 40. It's album number 200 and 209. I think it's 259, actually, because we're well past the halfway point. And it's by Patti Smith. It's called Horses. It was a number 47. It's number 209 because it's the alternative top 40. Excuse me, that's what it did not make the top 40. So it's number 209 on the alternative top 40. And what has got me to thinking is that, well, we started this list in 1955. And here we are, 20 years later, almost 500 albums, and we're covering Patti Smith. We move from like the Frank Sinatra era to the birth of the punk movement. That's a lot of albums that we've covered, a tremendous amount of history in the time that we've been doing this. And I'm proud of that. I mean, that means we've got all of those albums that we've covered are available on the website. That's more than 20 years of history, album history that we've got on the website. So that's pretty remarkable. And we're about to enter an entire new era with this album. And Patti Smith, I mean, it's so significant with what she represents. I mean, and here's why. I mean, the decade leading up to 1975 was an incredibly creative period for popular music. But all good things must come to an end, right? I mean, for better than 10 years, the alchemy of combining energy and creativity led to some fantastic innovations and a lot of timeless music, which is what we've been covering for about the past 10 years. By 1975, though, things began to stultify. The variety of music forms that simultaneously spawned diversity and creativity started to stagnate and calcify. Across the board, rigor mortis set in. It seemed as though nobody was making his or her best music in 1975. I don't mean that for everybody, but it was just this general calcification that seemed to be setting in. John Lennon released Rock and Roll, arguably the worst record of his career. Well, the Rolling Stones threw together Black and Blue. The Who's Tommy became a really bad movie. The Wiz opened up on Broadway. New album releases were growing predictable, if not downright cynical, embracing a stylistic branch that grew too stratified or redundant to qualify as genuinely creative. Just look at what was happening to the various genres. Art rock had grown sterile, soulless. White soul music was caving in to disco, or just soul music in general. Hard rock began its slump toward hair metal, while glitter and southern rock sank into such utter predictability that they became something of a joke. It was the age of Wings, the Eagles, Jefferson's Starship, and Chicago. Somebody needed to shake things up or we were doomed. Enter Patti Smith. She did not embrace any of the shopworn subgenres that were strangling music. Instead, she combined poetic grace with streetwise smarts and a rough-hewn energy that made music sound young again. Horses, her first album, was like a breath of fresh air that stimulated the senses and suggested that something new could come from old ideas. She references both Gloria, the song by Van Morrison and Them, and Land of a Thousand Dances, a song covered by a lot of people, written by Chris Kenner, but puts them into a completely fresh context, planting them in the middle of her poetry as the band, led by guitarist and one-time music journalist, as was Patti Smith, Lenny Kaye, as the band accelerates around her. It is classic rock and roll, rendered innocent and beautiful once again. To paraphrase the Rolling Stones, we needed horses to drag us away, and thank goodness that it did. It's kind of hard and unfair to credit the rebirth of rock and roll to one specific person or record. But in 1975, who else did anything like Patti Smith? Who else sounded like the album Horses? Her presence was stunning and unique, while the music was challenging and invigorating. It was artful without being bloated or pretentious. When I say it, I mean the album, rocked without posturing. The music breathed. It seemed to bubble up from the underground rather than descend from the self-appointed and self-important rock star hierarchy of the day. Other New York City bands, such as Blondie and the Ramones, were covering similar ground, but Patti Smith is the one who got signed to Arista, a major label, before the rest. While someone else may have compromised to commerce and toned down their presentation, Smith did the opposite. On Horses, the first words out of her mouth are, "Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine," thus declaring her independence while simultaneously eschewing the dogma of organized religion. I mean, Horses is not an easy album to listen to. Smith's vocal style can be disturbing, and her subject matter is constantly challenging. But the listening audience was hungry for something as vital as this. Suddenly, it felt that everyone else was just going through the motions, making music as a matter of habit rather than inspiration. Here was something genuine, real, and different. Not everybody heard Horses when it was released. I came to it a little bit late. But its impact was so significant that everyone felt the ground shifting beneath their feet. In its wake, the music scene changed irrevocably. If you want to know just how much, check out some of the reviews that were coming out around this time. The critics were a total mess. They loved it. They hated it. The ones who were like stuck in the mud hated it, because they just, it was so easy to pick on because it didn't sound like anything else. Oh, she's not a great singer. Oh, this is so simple. Three chords, you know, it's going to die in 2 weeks. Well, you know, wake up. It's now been 50 years, a half century. It ain't dead yet. So let's have some fun and play this album that is now a half century old, celebrating its half century anniversary. And we're going to play the entire thing through. The album opens up with Patti Smith's version of the Van Morrison song, also, of course, infused with Patti Smith's poetry in a glorious, glorious version of the song Gloria.
Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine. Milner, pot of thieves, wild cord of my sleeve. thick. Heart of stone, my sins my own, they belong to me, me.
Here she comes, coming through my door. Here she
the track that got a tremendous amount of attention at the time, but it was also criticized a lot because the critics had a hard time. They weren't getting Patti, I think, at first. I mean, they were like, oh, no, she's not a great singer. I mean, they were really cruel in the beginning. I mean, they're like, oh, she can't sing. She's not pretty. I mean, they totally missed it. I mean, her voice is incredible. I mean, because she's got this totally original thing, and she's incredibly beautiful also because she's so original. She was this unique character on stage where she was unlike anybody, and she was almost like a shining light. And I mean, she would not have been signed by Arista if they had any doubt. I mean, they were a little bit concerned about the androgyny of her on the cover, but that turns out to be perhaps maybe one of the best album covers, one of the best photographs of an artist ever. James Mapplethorpe's shot of Patti on the cover is just, Robert Mapplethorpe, excuse me, just an absolute, it's an amazing piece of work. And the next song is probably the song that did get the most airplay. It was reggae at a time when reggae was still something that wasn't very known. It's a song that was originally a poem that she had written in 1972, that she was inspired to write when she had an argument with her sister. The poem ended up being about two women fighting and the other woman basically dying, suicide by drowning. And the poem was basically shown to Richard Saul and Lenny Kay of her band, and they basically came up with the music for it, put it together, and they ended up with a song that sounded almost like too pleasant for the darkness of the theme. It's called Redondo Beach.
Never return.
see what she was thinking. I mean, I got to give a lot of credit to someone like Clive Davis, who was around this time, he was fired from Columbia. He was the head of Columbia, and they fired him. So he ended up starting his own label, Arista, and he took a risk hiring Patti Smith. I mean, it was a significant change. He could have gone, you know, it was like middle of the road, and here he is absolutely not doing that. And Patti Smith comes along and she named the album Horses, and I'd never really quite understood why until I read an interesting quote. It was because she was a big rock and roll fan, and she was very affected by this, really that an onslaught of rock and roll stars who had died, that had, you know, we had lost them in the late 60s and early 70s. And she was, the quote was, psychologically, somewhere in our hearts, we were all screwed up because those people died. We had to pull ourselves together. To me, that's why our record's called Horses. We had to pull the reins on ourselves to recharge ourselves. We've gotten ourselves back together. It's time to let the horses loose again. We're ready to start moving again. Basically, recharge it, you know, like, and that's kind of what this album is. It's like a whole rejuvenation of something new. There's nothing that I've played in this series. At this point in time, I think I've probably played 409, maybe 80 albums out of the 1,000 that we plan to cover. And none of them suggested where we are now with Patti Smith. This is like a rebirth, maybe in some sense. It's or just a new beginning, which fairly remarkable. Next track is one of the longest songs on the album. It's called Birdland.
Father died. We left him a little farm in New England. All the long black funeral cars left the scene, and the boys just standing there alone, looking at the shiny red tractor. But him and his daddy used to sit inside and circle the blue fields and grease the night. It was as if someone had spread butter on all the fine points of the stars, cause when he looked up they started to slip. And then he put his head in the crooks of his arms and he started to drift, drift, drift. Maybe have a ship, flying. Open and he went inside of it and saw his daddy out of control. Lit up with such naked joy that the sun burned around his lids and his eyes were like two suns. White lids, white opal, seeing everything just a little bit too clearly. And he looked around and there was no black ship in sight, no black funeral cars, nothing except for him. The raven fell on his knees, looked up and cried out.
Peanut. scattered, and they were like compass grass coming together into the head of a shaman bouquet. Slit in his nose, and all the others went shooting. Cheeks, taking out his neck, all his limbs, everything was twisted. And he said, oh, won't give up, won't give up, don't let me give up, I won't give up. Give me, let me go up fast, take me up quick, take me. Oh, 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 to the end, the Amishab and the sheep's the sky, pushing it all out like Lake Dick's cartoon. Am I all alone? This generation, we'll just be dreaming of animation night and day. It won't let up, won't let up. And I see them coming in. Oh, I couldn't hear them before, but I hear now. It's a radar scope and a little silver and all platinum lights moving in like black ships. Then we're moving in streams of them.
Coagulated like a river of glass. When it hardened, he looked at the surface. He saw his face, and where their eyes were just two white opals. Two white opals. Where their eyes, they were just two white opals. And he looked up, and the rays shot, and he saw Raven coming in. Crawled on his back, and he went up, 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 up. Shattered to been shattered to
Birdland. She'd mentioned that you're listening to 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD, and the show is American Hit Radio. We are here every day, Wednesday and Friday, Heidi and I. Oh, Garden City, New York. I never remember to say the place. Yeah, but that's where we're at. We're in Garden City, New York. And we're at this moment playing the entire Horses album by Patti Smith, what I would contend is perhaps the very first punk album to be released on a major label. Produced by John Cale, recorded at the very studio that Jimi Hendrix built with Eddie Kramer, Electric Lady Studios. We just heard Birdland, as I said. And let's play two tracks back to back. We'll play the last song that was on side one, Free Money, which was actually covered by Sammy Hagar. I did not know that. And we'll flip it out of it. We'll play the next track, the first track that's on side two called Kimberly, which is yet another song that was inspired by Patti's other sister, Kimberly. That's Free Money and Kimberly.
Every night before I could sleep, find a ticket, win a lottery, scoop the pearls up from the sea, cash them in and buy you all the things you need. Every night before I rest my head, see those dollar bills go swirling down my bed. I know they're stolen, but I don't feel bad. I take that money, buy you things you never had. Oh, baby, would mean so much to me. Oh, baby, to buy all the things you need. Oh, babe, I'll buy you a jet plane, babe. Get you on a higher plane to a jet stream and take you through the stratosphere and check out the planet and then take you down deep where it's hot, hot in the radio, babe. Dreaming, 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 dreaming,
born, the babe in my arms, in her swaddling clothes, and I know soon that the sky will split and the planets will shift. Bows of jade will drop and existence will stop. Little sister, the sky. Stand again, this electric whirlwind, the sea rushes up my knees like flame, and I feel like just some misplaced Joan of Arc in the cause as you looking up at me. Oh baby, I remember when you were born, it was dawn in the storm, settled in my belly, in the road, in the grass, in the spit at the gas, in the lit a match, in the void wind, flash in the sky, split, and the planets hit, balls of jade dropped, in existence. Sister, the sky is falling. Adamant, adamant. Little sister, the fates are calling on you. I was young and crazy, so crazy I knew I could break through with you. So with one hand I rocked you, and with one heart I reached for you. I knew your youth was for the taking, fire on the mental plane, so I ran through the fields as the bats with their baby vain faces burst from the barn in flames in the violet, violent sky. And I fell on my knees and pressed you against me. Your skull was like a network of spittle, like glass balls moving in like cold streams of logic. And I prayed as that lightning attacked that some will make it go crack. 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 The palm trees fall into the sea. It doesn't matter much to me, as long as you're safe, Kimberly. And I can gaze deep.
Be a good spot for me to drop the names of the band members and some of the guests. Besides Patti Smith, of course, who's doing all the singing and writing the words. Lenny Case, lead guitarist, also responsible for a lot of the music. J.D. Doherty was the drummer. Ivan Kral, the band's bass player. Richard Soul is on piano. And there were two guests that were around for a lot of what was happening on the album. Alan Lanier of Blue Oyster Cult was present. Actually, he co-wrote that song Kimberly about Patti Smith and her baby sister. He co-wrote that song with her, and that he was actually her boyfriend for quite a while in the early part of the 70s. So that's why, you know, he was around at that time. And Tom Verlaine as well was around. Now, the Patti Smith group and Television were playing a lot at CBGB's. They had were playing side by side, in fact, for a whole bunch of, for months at a time. And it was Patty who was lucky enough to get picked up by Arista, but they became close friends. And they were in the studio while the album was being made. And in fact, it was Tom Verlaine who co-wrote this next song with Patty. It was Tom who provided the music for the song, Break It Up.
Car stopped in a clearing, ribbon of life it was nearing. I saw the boy break out of his skin. My heart turned over and I falling. I could hear the angel calling. We rolled on the ground. He stretched out his wings. The noise flew away and he started to sing. He sang, oh, I don't understand. I can't
once again, there's so much I want to say, but I'd rather play the music than have me interrupt it. So thank you so much for listening. A tip of the hat to Patti Smith and to John Cale for making one of the most important albums of the 70s. And thank you for listening, and I hope you can join us again Friday and, of course, next Wednesday. We'll see you then, folks. Hail horses.
Boy was in the hallway drinking a glass of tea. From the other end of the hallway, a rhythm was generating. Another boy was sliding up the hallway. He merged perfectly with the hallway. He merged perfectly with the mirror in the hallway. The boy looked at Johnny. Johnny wanted to run, but the movie kept moving as planned. The boy took Johnny, he pressed him against a locker. He drove it in, he drove it home, he drove it deep in Johnny. The boy disappeared. Johnny fell on his knees, started crashing his head against a locker. Started crashing his head against a locker. Started laughing hysterically when suddenly Johnny gets a feeling. He's been surrounded by horses, 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 horses coming in all directions. White, shining, silver, studs with their nose in flames. He saw horses, 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 horses singing a hound of pony, like Boney Maroney. Do you know the twist? Silken hair and found a stair, and I didn't waste time, I just walked right up and saw that up there there is a sea up there. There's a sea up there. There's a sea, sees the possibility. There's no land but the land. There's no sea but the sea. There's no keeper of the key. Here's a wall of one possibilities. Possibilities, one who seizes possibilities. There are several walls possibilities. The possibilities up there. The first possibility is to see around me. I'm standing there with my legs spread like a sailboat. I felt his hand on my knee on the screen, and I looked at Johnny and handed him a branch of coral flame in the heart of man. The waves were coming in like Arabian stallions, gradually lapping into seahorses. He picked up the blade,
and he pressed it against his smooth throat, spoon, and let it dip in the veins, dip in to the sea, to the sea of possibilities. Dip in,
it started hardening
to the sea,
in my hand,
to the sea,
and I felt the arrows
of possibilities.
I
put my hand inside his cranium. Oh, we had such a brainiac, no more, but no more.
Disintegrated, nothing happening.
Go inside the black tube.
Said when he looked out into the
of you.